John chapter 3, verse 15. Have a period of review here to prepare us for the study today. John chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word today. I just ask, dear Lord, that your power and your presence be with us today, that you'll come and you'll just touch every one of our hearts and just grow every one of us. And we're here today and do not know you as our Savior. We have not believed. The Scripture is very clear that we've just read. We're condemned already. And so please, dear Lord, today be the day you call us for salvation today. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, but today. And so please, dear Lord, those that are here that do not know you as their Savior, that they'll come and trust in you today. Please, just give me the strength, the wisdom to say the right words in the right fashion. And dear Father, I know that if I turn it all around, you can still take it and present it to the ears of the listeners and present it to their heart right. And I just ask that that be done today. And we praise you and honor you and lift up your name. And just all glory should be to you, dear Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So we look back to these verses that we have covered in the past couple of weeks, and particularly last week. We look at the word whosoever. What a wonderful word. That's a word that does not eliminate, does not neglect or reject anyone from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should not be lost, but should have life, and not just life, but eternal life. And so a life that begins the day that you trust in Jesus, and a life that just continues. And God desires that no one would be lost, not one. And so please, that we come and we listen and we hear. This 16th verse here, and we spent much time last week talking about the so of that verse, S-O, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This tremendous love, God loved us so much, so much. He loved the world. He loved the wicked, because that's who it is. All the people that ever have been born and ever will be born are born with a wicked heart, and they need salvation. They need to be saved. And God died, the Lord Jesus Christ died for everyone. God's the only begotten Son. God loved us so much, that he sent his Son down here to redeem us. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish or be lost, but have everlasting life. You know, today, in today's life, in today's world, God the Father is ignored. God the Son was rejected and crucified, and God the Spirit has been called Beelzebub, the devil. That's the way this world treats our God. And yet he loved them so much that God sent his only begotten Son. He sent him to all mankind that all can be saved. You know, Jesus died for the sins of all the world. He died for the murderer. He died for the rapist. He died for those mothers that have murdered their babies through abortion. He died for those abortion doctors and the staff that carried that abortion out. And I believe the number today is up to 50 million babies. And isn't it wonderful that our God has room in heaven for those babies? Because the people of this earth didn't think they had room for them or didn't want them. But God did. Jesus died for the enemies of the cross. He died for Saddam Hussein. He died for the terrorists that we're dealing with today. He died for Hitler. He died for Mussolini. He died for everyone. He died for those today that come into the schools and take the Ten Commandments off the wall. He died for those that continue to take the Ten Commandments away from our courthouses so they have no law or no rule. Jesus died for all. We give a list and kind of give it to a category of sin. But my friend, he died for the worst sinner, and that's me and you. He died for every person in the world. He died for all. Every man, every woman, every child that accepted him, he died for. And every man, woman, and child that has rejected him, died for. Oh, what great love. God so loved the world. Jesus died for all. For all. And then he said, whosoever. Don't ever forget that. Whosoever that believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, Jesus paid the full price for our redemption. He paid it in full. God so loved the world, and I love that part again, the world, not just a few, not just a selected group, but all the world, all the wicked, all the condemned. He died for all. He died for you and for me, that we can live. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11 says, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his ways and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die?" And this was said 600 plus years before Jesus was born. And the question still comes, why should you die? Why would you choose to die? All of the wicked, all that those hated Jesus and reject him today, all those are included in the whosoever. Because of this great love and the open invitation, the whosoever will gives Jesus the right to judge. Without question, there is a final judgment. There's a condemnation to all who reject and refuse Jesus. And it's coming. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And the Word of God tells us every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that He is Lord. And I want to show you these verses. I've got three different areas of the Scripture, two in Revelation, one in Philippians, concerning this judgment that's come. But you see, because of the whosoever will, He has every right to judge those that whosoever won't. Go to Philippians with me. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. It says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of the things in heaven and the things in earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Those that refuse Jesus will bow their knee and will confess him as Lord. But it'll be too late. Those that are saved gladly today bow our knees and confess him as Lord and praise his name. Let's go to Revelation with me, please, to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. We'll just read the 13th verse. This is a fulfillment of Philippians chapter 2. "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And now on to the Last Judgment, Revelation chapter 20. This, and I read quite often, you should be very familiar with it. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne in him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Sea gave up the dead which were in it, death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." There is a final judgment for the lost. The final judgment. But my friend, as we look at these verses of Scripture, we see as we go to the 17th verse and the 18th verse, we look at these two verses now. "God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." This is something else that we need to learn, and that Nicodemus needs to learn, things of heaven. These are heavenly things that are taught by our Lord for us to learn. We find here the main reason and object for Jesus coming into this sinful world. Not to condemn, but to save. That was his purpose and reason for coming. Nicodemus knew much, could quote much, if not all, of the Old Testament. And so he knew that the Lord was coming. But he missed the Savior part. He was a Jew. He had fulfilled to the best of his ability all the laws that were before him. He had taken care of and fulfilled all the traditions that was put before him to his best ability, the best of his ability, and he felt that that was good enough. And if this afternoon you would like to go back to Psalms chapter 2, verses 7 and 9, and then on to Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 through 22, and we find there that he probably knew, because you see, the God that Nicodemus had studied was coming to rule. And see, that was the problem, because Nicodemus didn't come by faith. He come by his head, by his knowledge, by what he had studied. He knew he was coming to rule. And to rule meant to condemn. To condemn the Roman government that stood over them. and to set them free from any enemy. And he believed that this God was going to come down and set them free, which he will. Free from other lands coming against them. But Nicodemus didn't know, and most people don't know today, that we need to be set free from our sin. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He did come to set us free. He came to save us. It says here in this 17th verse, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, many people believe in a universal salvation, that since Jesus died on the cross, all the world are saved. But you see, as we go on now to the 18th verse, we find he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Is condemned already. So you see, not every person that has been born and lived and died is covered because they refuse to believe. If you believe not, you're condemned already. Jesus carried the sins of all the world to the cross, of all the world. He took them away, but only those that believe. Jesus opened the door of salvation to all the world when he finished this wonderful work. A door that was before every person that's ever lived from the beginning of time awaited for Jesus to finish this work. John chapter 10, the 9th verse, if you want to turn there quickly with me. John chapter 10, verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and go out and find pasture. First John chapter 4, verse 14. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, not to condemn the world. As we turn back now to this 18th verse, I'm going to read 17 and then on into 18. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. This scripture verse, as John chapter 3, verse 16, is such a full and powerful verse, so is this one. To pick out verses of scripture that would be the most powerful is impossible. But this would definitely have to be one on the list. Because you see, as you look at this 18th verse, it tells us who is saved and why, who is lost and when, why the lost are lost. Let's look at this verse again. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Again, number one, who is saved? We see that. Those that believe. That's why. Who is lost? We see that. Because they didn't believe. They're lost. And we see when they're lost. They're condemned already. And then we see why the lost are lost. It's because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. One of the greatest verses in the Word of God is that verse. He that believeth on Jesus is not condemned. This word believe, we talked about this in Sunday school class this morning. Believe in your heart. Trust in him. Have faith in him. Rely upon him. You need to believe everything the Bible says. Because, my friend, it's all about him. So we need to know it and believe it. He was in the beginning with the Father. He was born of the Virgin. He lived a sinless life. He died, was buried, and rose again. All according to the Scripture. What a wonderful word that we have in our hand. When we receive Christ, when we believe on Him, condemnation is removed. Because prior to coming to Christ, we are condemned already. Any and all who hear this gospel message can believe if they will. So you see, it comes down to will. My will, your will. Will you trust in Jesus? If you will. Not condemned. We are pardoned, we're justified, we're cleared of all guilt. We've been acquitted. Not condemned. If you know Jesus as your Savior, condemnation has been removed, not condemned. In Christ, the believer is delivered from the curse of the law and made righteous in the sight of a holy God. What a wonderful opportunity. God so loved the world. But let's look at this sad part, the rest of the story. He that believeth not is condemned already. It doesn't say he will be condemned upon his death. It doesn't say he will be condemned when he stands before the judge, as we read back in Revelation. You see, he is condemned already. He has no hope to get to heaven. No hope to see his Lord. No hope for joy and peace. No hope for the wisdom of God. No hope for the knowledge of God. No hope of having one sin removed from his life. No hope. None. Because you see, he's condemned already. Look to the end of this chapter, John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The wrath of God abideth on him today, now. Every person that rejects Jesus is already condemned. This, I think I'm going to get to heaven. I hope I can get to heaven. I have a lot of good works. I gave the list earlier of the murderer and the rapist and the abortionist and all those. But you know, the worst sin, the only sin that is unpardonable, is the sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief. My friend, believe in your heart. Trust in Him today. Walk by faith. It's all you need to do. God does the calling. God does everything. It's just you turn to Him. If you do that, He will save you. He is faithful. We think, You know, we're the ones. Boy, we got to just keep working and working and working. Well, we should be, but not for our salvation, but to serve and praise and honor a living God. But He keeps us. He seals us. It's the work of Christ. What a wonderful work. But my friend, he that believeth not, he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. In the 36th verse of this chapter. Unbelief. Unbelief. When you look at the laws of the land, to murder someone, to do something of that fashion will get you a few years in prison, depending on how you did it and how much you've thought about it before you did it, would mean that you maybe would get the electric chair. Judgment will come. But every sin can be forgiven, except for the one when you don't believe in Jesus. It's the only one. It's the only one. See, we rank these sins. Some are more horrible than others. Well, the most horrible sin, the most horrible, is not to believe. Not to believe. How far away? How far away are you and I? How far away is all the world away from heaven or hell? If you're a believer from heaven, if you're not a believer, you're condemned already to hell, how far away are we? One heartbeat. One heartbeat away. That's how close. That's how close. There's not a one of us is promised tomorrow. There's not a one of us even promised that our heart's going to beat one more time. And so, just that fast, you're off into eternity. Either to praise and glorify God and honor Him and the pain and suffering is gone, or to go off into the place of torment, awaiting the judgment we read about here in Revelation. We need to be getting the gospel out, my friend. We need to tell people. There is no sin so great. There's no sin so damning as the sin of unbelief. Every soul that is in hell is in hell because of unbelief. Of unbelief. Every soul that is in hell will be there forever. Pain and suffering because of unbelief. Of unbelief. To refuse Jesus is to lock the door of heaven. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. My friend, today I hope you know Jesus as your Savior. And if you do, we have the greatest news to tell. We have the greatest news to tell. Does the world want to hear it? No. But we're said to tell it. We're told to proclaim it. God will give the increase. We can't add to the church. But we have the greatest, most great opportunity of any, is to take this good news. It was the news that the Jews were supposed to take. The Jews were supposed to bring this to the lost and dying world. And they didn't. And so God set them aside, and here we are. Let's not be as the Jews, religious, yet lost. Let's not be as the Jews and not take this wonderful word out to this lost and dying world. A world that is one heartbeat away from hell. We need to be busy at taking out this wonderful news. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Let's take those words out. If you wonder how to witness, you just take the last four or five verses of Scripture here that we've read. Start with, you must be born again with Nicodemus. You get that this chapter down into your memory, because it's one of the most powerful chapters in all the Word. If it wasn't for the rest of the Word, this couldn't be, so we sure can't take away from the rest. But right here it comes, and it comes so clearly to us. So please, trust in Jesus today if you haven't. And let's be proclaimers. Let's be living a godly life that folks will listen to our words. And the Spirit of God can use His Word to touch their heart and bring them to salvation. What a wonderful day we live in. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word today. It is your word. It is your strength and your power that will deliver it. It is your strength and your power that will convict the heart and show the folks that are lost that they're lost. And then, thankfully, I praise you that you don't just condemn us and let us go. We're condemned already. By your Spirit, you show us that we're condemned. And all we need to do is say, oh, please, dear Lord, forgive me. Please save me. And he will. Please listen to the Spirit today. And please help us to be a lighthouse here, proclaimers of the truth, bringing the gospel to this community and out across this countryside and then on around the world. You've allowed us to do that with the ministries that we have. Please, that your word, you've always said it never goes void. We just ask today to touch the heart, because we have no idea of tomorrow. Speak to our hearts. Salvation to the lost, growth and power and strength, and give us authority to speak to the saved. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.